With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It goes, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hanestine squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it goes.
Welcome back to It Girls Podcast.
We're back and it feels good, baby.
We're back and it feels so good. Thank you for being patient. And I hope you enjoyed the bonus episode that we put out this week. It was with Fiona and Sarah, our good pals. And it was an episode of X Girls. We thought, what better way to give you guys a little insight in what goes on over on X Girls? And to be honest, that was the most tame episode on there. So if you, I mean, we're all in lockdown. As we all know, Fiverr a month, girls, get on over and sign up.
It's a fucking fiver.
Patreon.com.
Yeah, little 5 euro.
Patreon.com/itgirlspodcast. We've had really cool people on at the start of the month. We 1st of January, we kicked it all off with a woman called Annabelle Knight, who was so interesting. She works for a company called Climax, which is all about pleasure, female pleasure, how to have orgasms. But she's also a relationship coach, and she gave some really good tips on like relationships, how to communicate in them, spicing up your sex life.
We wanted to do that a lot with ex-girls just before Christmas, because what's Christmas without a cum? You know, that's just that. I always say it. So I have very much been like, we got people on as well that we want to learn from. We had Jenny Keen on, who is an orgasm expert, and we learned that was like wow, like getting her on and the dialogue that she gave, and just, I was mind blown.
Yeah, that
and I have
amazing.
Been having multiple orgasms.
Yeah,
thank
so
you.
That
thank you
work.
So much.
Had a few last night. You must know.
Really?
Yeah. I was actually.
And have you had them before? Because I never had. Like, what the fuck?
Sometimes, but I think they were always kind of came by chance. But now that Jenny Keen actually gave us a few tips, and also she hosted her orgasm masterclass last month. Let us know if you'd like her on It Girls, because we want to get her on, I think, for maybe some astrology shit. But we also spilled the tea, Lindsay, last week. Girls, look, y'all know I got a rock in my finger. Y'all know Lindsay. We had a bit of drama before Christmas. Lindsay got a diagnosis. We both were in having fucking swabs up our nose to find out the tea on that. That's also an ex-girls.
Yeah.
We divulged. We hadn't recorded in like 3 weeks and so much shit had happened. So that was our first episode of.
And I was in ISO.
Yes.
I had no one to talk to. It was like 1 hour, 40 minutes that we recorded when
Zoom
I was.
Nation.
Zoomed it up. But yeah, that is also where, like, you know, when we started It Girls, we were divulging more of our kind of personal lives on here, and then it just got too kind of big.
Yeah.
So that's our little secret club where if you're a super fan, you can go, and that's where you can kind of touch base with the gals and where we kind of spill a little bit more personal shit on there.
And it's a good time. Sign up at the start of the month is just the best time, but you can sign up whenever. We're going to be doing our usual monthly X Gals live stream on the 19th, which is next Tuesday, I believe. So sign up before then. And speaking of live streams, I do just want to shout out, because we haven't recorded since our Christmas Crackers live stream.
How fun was that?
Oh
my God, that was
so
can
fun.
You remember the people, the amount of people that we had listening?
Oh my God. Well, it was like, it was the hours. So Killian, quote me, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure cumulatively we had 170,000 hours watched.
Which is...
I don't even understand that.
I don't, but I like it.
That I'm just letting y'all know.
And Killian was dabbing all over my living room afterwards. Yeah. He was like, that was the most highest viewed one I've ever worked on. And yes, I am fucking flexing, but it was so fun to work with Killian. So we're hopefully going to be doing more of those.
We're tentatively working on one for the next few months.
That's coming soon.
Yeah.
Because it was just like so cool to have it in 4K. And it was so wild being in my living room, being like, we are broadcasting live.
It was so cool.
The call-ins from X-Gals were also like, that element was so fun.
And
like
the Discord.
Shout out to the 17 gals who had a party. Yeah. socially distanced, of course. They had a party and they rang us in and it was just so fun. Like I met one of them the other day.
Yeah, you were saying.
And it was just, that's where, like they've made friends. I think that is one of the best things about X-Gals, that it's actually a space where you can meet like-minded people, make friends. Like they have a bunch of a whole group.
Yeah.
And when we hopefully get back doing shows, that's the place where you can kind of converse with people. If it's a great place to, like, if you are an ex-gal, you're gonna get along. So
also I do just want to say thank you to every single person who donated to the live stream. I was able to transfer over €5,000 to the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre yesterday, which was incredible. They are so thankful. Like last year, we've worked with them consistently. We'll be working with them again now. They're just such a great charity. The money goes to a great cause. They're close to our heart. All the rest, they have educated Lindsay and I so much, so we know the power of their education. And thank you to everyone who donated. Some people were donating like €100 and shit. That is so fucking generous. And we hope to do more. Especially, I'd love to do that annually at Christmas, to do a charitable live stream, because it just made it so much more fun. It made it really, really great. And we're delighted to have given that money over to them. But that's all our kind of like, all of our checkup points for the start of the app.
One more.
Oh.
Buy our merch. Fuck us. Buy our merchandise.
No, we do have some sexy ass merch. Sexy being the opera.
Yeah. Word. And I took a pen to paper and I drew. Mm. And so we have the Still Sexy merch, which is just launched. I need to buy my shit. Because we have to actually buy our own merch, because it's on Teespring. We're doing it. This drop is on Teespring. Later on in the year, we're going to be bringing out another physical drop, which that's just edit. That's just background shit that you don't need to know. Yeah. But yeah, I designed the tote bag. We have a Still Sexy tote bag. Sorry, my sister is FaceTiming me from Spain and I'm working, bitch. That's what you get for moving away. LOL, JK, miss you, love you. But yeah, Still Sexy. It's super sexy because, like, I just think in lockdown, everyone's wearing sweats, everyone's wearing hoodies. Yeah. We love our It Girls hoodies. So we wanted to bring out a new fresh hoodie and it says Still Sexy.
They're
Jenny
really cute.
Jenny did the font. Really cute, kind of 80s font.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun to be like,
collaborative effort.
Yes. Just so you know, I'm still sexy. I'm still sexy, even though I'm wearing oversized.
So if you need a new hoodie, I know we always do. It's really hard to actually find a good hoodie these days. Honestly, when I was trying to buy my own one the other week, I was like, what the fuck? They're really good price as well. Hoodies these days are going for like 80, 90 euro. These
I fucking know.
These are 40 quid, girls. And if you're an X-Gal or a triple X-Gal, you know your discount codes. They are used for all of our merch all the time.
So, and they're cool, because I'm sick of when you go on ASOS and you see something that says like, work it, bitch, on the
bad
back.
Bad bitch energy. Yeah.
Oh, it's like, please. Still sexy. There is a thought process behind that.
So go on over. Okay, so Royce, we're back. And you know what? Last year, Linz, was such a shite year for his celeb gossip.
They were doing fuck all.
Randomly, they couldn't keep it under the bag during Christmas. They were blown up all over the place.
It was amazing. Thank you so much, celebrities, for finally doing your job and providing us with some much needed content and gossip. There's nothing like celebrity culture. It's like, there's nothing like that element of gossip, because it's just so far removed. Yeah. That's why Jenny and I love it so much, because, you know, it's just like it extends your like kind of brain to something that is so far removed from you, but that you can randomly be like semi-involved with.
Yeah.
With your friends.
Well,
stuff.
You get like updates. You don't get too like attached to it. Like Irish influencer.
You're not
Ross
involved.
Always gets very personal.
And very mean.
Very mean.
Very mean. Irish very people mean. Are so mean to other Irish people.
Stop cancelling us.
But also thanks for the free publicity. So let's get into the show.
So let's talk about Hilaria, or formerly known as Hilary Baldwin.
So how did she say it? Because it's actually really difficult to
Hilaria.
Say. Oh, Hilaria.
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 So this was something that my sister sent me. So there is, what is her
Tracy,
name?
Tracy Morris, I believe.
Tracy Morris is... Tracy Morris is a journalist and she has outed celebrities on numerous occasions.
She's like an investigative celebrity journalist. So she looks down the rabbit hole of like, she'll find something fishy and be like, hold on.
She'll notice
what?
Something in an interview. Say, for example, she did it with Jamelia Jamil.
Yeah.
The most annoying bitch on Twitter. I honestly feel like I had to get off Twitter solely for her. I know. Didn't even follow the bitch, and she's up there like feminism, blah, 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 blah. I broke my arm, whatever she's on about. So she did a great takedown on her.
Yeah, about her having Munchausen's, right?
Yeah, basically just seeing all these like, she was coming out saying that she was like attacked by a swarm of bees, and then, like, she'd say the same story a year later, and or no, she said that she was attacked by one bee, and then she ran into moving traffic because of the bee, yeah. And then she got the car crashed into her and she broke her flipping back, and then like she a weeks later would be like, I was attacked by a swarm of bees and then I was in a coma. So like she, there's a takedown of her, but the one, her latest one is Ilaria Baldwin,
who I'd never heard of. I mean, like the Baldwins for me, they're not really a family of celebs that I really invest much time in.
They're kind of blah.
They're pretty boring. Like, I mean, obviously Hayley Baldwin is like the most famous one. She's the other Baldwin's daughter though, right? She's not Alec Baldwin's daughter.
Yeah, the other one, I can't remember his name. All I do know is that fucking iconic video that came out about him when he was caught caught cheating with his cleaner, and then he scoots off on one of those electric scooters, which is hilarious.
There's so many of them.
They all look like different variants of each other. They just get more melted looking over time.
Alec Baldwin, William Baldwin, Daniel Baldwin are all her uncles, and her dad is Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah.
I just never knew there was that many Baldwins. I truly think I thought they were all the same person.
I think they kind of are. They're just like, they honestly are just like, they look like candles and one's a different kind of melted version.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin is by far the better looking one.
He's the swaggiest as well. But he's the most famous, right? Alec Baldwin.
Also, they just seem to have no personality.
Yeah.
Like really dim men. I'm like, how did you get so successful when?
Hello. Hello, I would like to talk about my wife.
So, Ilaria Baldwin.
Ilaria Baldwin. So, yeah, this woman.
How do we explain this?
So, Tracy Morris went in and was talking about like Ilaria Baldwin, who is basically, was before any of this, was known as being like one of these snapback queens. Like she's had 5 kids. It's his second wife. His other wife was mother of Ireland Baldwin.
Kim Bassinger.
Of course it was Kim Bassinger. She's the immature. She is like around our age, isn't she?
Yeah.
30-ish. Maybe a bit younger. And he married again, as you do in Hollywood, to a younger woman. Now she's not distastefully younger. Alec Baldwin's old enough, but she's not like in her 20s, but she's young enough and she looks really young. She's really pretty.
Yeah, she's quite plain, but she is really pretty, and she is like a yoga kind of health guru.
Yeah,
health,
she's been known, bitch. Yeah, she's known to always, she basically has had 5 kids.
She's always pregnant, and then she always has the newborn flopped on her breast.
Yeah.
While she stood in her bikini with like full on 6-pack, and she's like, loved having this little baby around for a week. Yeah. Just letting you know, it was a week. And look at me. Every time.
She's just one of those bitches that like loves to like flex her snapback and makes pregnancy just so unattainable for the average Joe. Like she obviously like has a combination of like extreme wealth, but also like genetic.
Genetic. It's and genetic. She's like some obsessed people, with yoga and shit.
Yeah, but like even that, like yoga doesn't really get you that fucking skinny. You know, that way yoga stretches you out and might get you a little bit strong, but you're not going to be like, you know, fucking stick thin. She's just, it's genetics. It really is. And I think that a lot of the problem with those people who like flex on this like snapback culture is like they say it's yoga, or they say it's like my juice cleanse. It's like, it's not. Like majority of
there
that
are
is
some
genetics.
Things. I've been known to snap back myself after having children.
But so has your mom. Your mom is in great shape.
No, my mom is too, but we're also, the double spanks 100% helped me with Luna.
Oh no, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, to blame it on yoga is like,
oh yeah, no,
it's
that's
just like
dumb.
Especially when you're so famous and you're like making a point out of showing off your snapback body. It's like, stop telling all these women, average women, to go out and spend like yoga, it's not really like, it's a great exercise, you know, it's fantastic for your like mental health and like your body, and like it has huge benefits. But like, if you are not genetically programmed to be like really, really small, you're not going to get like a size 6 after having a fucking baby 2 weeks later from doing a few fucking downward dogs.
Totally it's just like, I think it's just a case of being a lucky bitch. I don't even know if it's fucking genetics, because like I've seen sisters who snap back at different times and all that kind of shit, but she flexes too full. Oh. She's probably the worst for it.
I'm
and
so
like,
glad I was never aware of her before this.
Oh, I know. As a mom, I was aware of her. Mm. I think we were kind of pregnant around the same time when I was pregnant with Luna.
And she has had like 5. So
and it
probably.
Is super difficult. And I totally, with my pregnancy with Luna, completely got
Lonely
eaten
Jane.
Alive by Lonely that Jane. Shit. Lonely Jane was, I unfollowed her. Goodbye. Get out of my fucking life.
Vegan
because
bitch.
She was like vegan, 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 my pregnancy, my pregnancy. And she was the same. Like, I think she put like a photo up in a bikini 3 days after.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you were like into that picture too.
I was like,
I remember you were like, look at this girl. Like, that's from being vegan. And I was,
and because
like,
they're so believable. They're like, thank you to the vegan pregnancy. Am I stretching every day? Blah, yeah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, I just have to eat a banana every day and then I get like that. Yeah. So I was totally bought into that bullshit.
It's so easy though, especially because, you know, you always say, Lindsay, as well, like being pregnant and being a mom, a new mom especially, is like quite an isolating experience. And like you connect to people online because if, you know, if say if you're the only pregnant person in your friend group, but then like online you find a community, like you're going to connect to them. And like you are kind of vulnerable in that position, 100%, especially like pre-pregnancy, like, or during pregnancy, should I say, you're probably vulnerable because you're just like, oh, what's happening? And then post-pregnancy, you're so vulnerable because like there's A, so many hormones, but B, you've got this baby and your body's changed. And
I mean,
you know,
people like Ledia Baldwin or Loni Jane need to just be fucking more careful how they deliver their like quote unquote knowledge. Because I remember, I was only talking about this yesterday, Loni Jane was saying like, if you're vegan and you're vegan throughout your pregnancy and then you're breastfeeding and you're vegan when you're breastfeeding, you're daughter, your child will never ever want meat because they've never had it, and it's not normal or natural for humans to eat meat. Like, why? You wouldn't just go up to a cow in a field and like chew in its leg, would you? Know, so like it's not natural for us to like meat. So like, they, as soon as Luna saw a fucking sausage and had the ability to grab, she threw herself across the table where Sarah, my sister, was eating a sausage, grabbed it off her fork, shoved it in her mouth, and now only eats meat, does not touch a fucking vegetable. So I was totally bought into this thing and believed what I was reading, which is like my own fault. But like,
no, but like
when they deliver it in such a way as if like,
it's a crazy thing that isn't like, you know, controlled, not controlled, like, because like, you know,
it's like Julia McKeith, who she called herself a doctor with absolutely no qualifications. And it's like, just because you've
been pregnant doesn't mean you're an expert on pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And just with like Ileria going on about her yoga and shit, just because it works for you doesn't mean
it's
going to
work for her. In her heels. Remember that picture? She's like that bitch. You, like, and Tracy Morris went into that. She was like, she's formerly known as someone who does yoga on her Instagram wearing stilettos while breastfeeding a child.
She's
like,
so funny. The way that the girl, the journalist, delivers it is so funny. She was like, I never trust a woman who enjoys pregnancy.
Yeah.
And to be honest,
Neither do I.
Well, like, I loved being pregnant. I felt, never felt sexier. I fucking had a beautiful pregnancy. It was absolutely fine. Like, I had no morning
sickness.
Yeah,
but you're not like,
but I hated it. I was like, get this fucking baby out of me, right, like, out of the pub.
You know, those women who are like, I miss being pregnant. I only feel myself when I'm pregnant.
I know. I miss my bump. I was like, as soon as Luna came out of me, I put on 2XS Spanx, squeezed myself into it, and fucking was like, I was not missing my bump.
Yeah.
It's a bump.
Sorry, her name is Tracy Morrissey. I just pulled her up there just in case. And because I know people will be asking. So it's T-R-A-C-I-E and then Morrissey, like Morrissey from The Smiths.
So follow her on Instagram because she has it saved in her highlights.
And if you're, saving her highlights, look at her highlights called Ileria, because we're not going to be saying exactly what happened. We're just going to be commenting because basically she exposed her ass.
So basically Ileria has been kind of cosplaying
Hillary.
That she has like, she's of Spanish descent.
She said, she always came out and said that like, she was raised in Malaga. Her parents, she was born in Spain, raised there for a while, but then moved between America. Her parents are, she said like her dad was Spanish. She has all this Spanish family. Like she would go around kind of, now when we say Spanish as well, I think this is very, the reason why some of it I think got lost in translation is within the American context, because she's pretending to be like, Spanish from Spain, not South American. Two very different. You know, in America, they would.
Oh yeah, they were kind of saying that it was. they were kind of trying to insinuate that it was racist.
That it was like a Rachel Dolezal vibe, and it's like it's not, because like
Spanish people are Caucasian.
They're Caucasian people. You know what I mean? But like, not if you're in South America, it's very different because like a mix of indigenous genes and like slavery was around there. So people aren't like, you're not like fully white Spanish. It's a completely separate thing.
Just because you speak Spanish doesn't mean that you're.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
You're from Spain.
Yeah, exactly. But like.
So she's been cosplaying
like to the point where like my favorite part of this whole thing was she's a chef, I guess. I don't know. Like
I think
a TV,
it's the veganism yoga shit, you know.
TV person, and she is on TV at one point and she's like and then like she does the accent too, which is really
kind
crazy.
Of puts on a little,
like a little Spanish, and then she was like, how you say in English, cucumber?
She
literally said, how you say in English.
How you say? Where, like, the bitch is, it's her first language.
She's from Massachusetts. She's Irish American.
Bizarre. And she, twice, that she was on Hola magazine?
Yeah, the cover of Hola magazine. But
and
like,
she's named all her kids, like, kind
No, the best thing about the kids.
Certain names.
This is how anyone should have been questionable. The bitch called all her kids Italian names. They're called, like, Romeo. That's not a Spanish fucking name. And she keeps, like, mentioning, like, there's all this video stuff of her being, like, talking about her wedding and, like, all of her Spanish family came. And this bitch, like, Tracy Morrissey, I can't remember if it's her or someone else helped her. She went down her family tree. Like, her dad is, like, Irish, Scotch-Irish American.
She's, like, 3-4 generations from Massachusetts.
Her mom's family owns slaves. That is how white they are. In America.
Whoa.
Yeah, but a lot of people would. You know, her mom's like generation.
Yeah.
They're from the East Coast.
Yeah, like she's fully rooted.
She's a white American woman.
There's absolutely. And I think her family, like her parents, maybe, I think they moved to Spain. So that's where she started to get.
Her dad was a professor in a university. And I think he might have done like a stint of a few months in Spain.
I think they have a home there and they live there. That's what she said. That was her kind of conclusion, because she did come out and she was like, she was saying like, you know, that is their home. So of course I say that is my home because it's my family are there.
I love the way like her accent just like got more and more American as well. Like in those, if you look at it.
Yeah, she just dropped the little Spanish twang.
Like, and then she came on and just did the classic thing where she was like, this is very toxic. I'm going to be removing myself from the internet for a few days.
Arlen Baldwin came out and said like, you don't know, my stepmom is the nicest person ever. So how fucking dare you? It's so mean. And it's like, besides the point. And I don't agree with the pylon at all. And I don't agree with the kind of...
I mean,
it's hilarious, Baldwin. Yeah. But it's like, I don't agree with the... When all these things get like so blown out of proportion. We had it with our cancellation, which we spoke about on X-Cals. But like, you know, they always get so blown out of proportion. Yeah. Like you're saying, like there was like accusations of it being racial and of her being like...
Stealing a culture
and all that kind of... Cultural
appropriation.
So like these things always get so hyperbolic where it's like, okay, it's not fun anymore when you're literally trying to... We as a nation, like we're so fucking quick to label everyone. We are obsessed with labeling at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, it's because, I mean, we talk about it. I think we talked about it in our episode about Adam. It's because, like, people who are into cancelling or, like, public shaming as well. Because this wasn't even, like, cancelling because, like, she's not really, like, she's not, like, you know, a prolific actress and they're trying to get her fired. They're just trying to shame her. You know, that way there was nothing really to lose. She's married to, like, a multi-millionaire. It's like to shame
Tracy's kind of I think she just wanted to catch her out and just wanted to be like.
But I understand that because like there is an annoying thing with like this like disingenuous stuff and like
totally
and like her being on the cover of Ola, like I can understand a journalist
and it's
being
just
like
plain weird.
Hold on, I found like the Jamina Jamil thing. It's like it's weird that you're lying, but like I don't think you should be like tarred and feathered.
Yeah,
you
I don't think that you should be slapped with certain labels as like, you know, racially misconstrued, whatever they
or,
were calling
you're racist,
her.
You're ableist to. Jamila Jamil, it's like, oh God, that, leave alone.
It gets boring when we get the labels.
They're clearly like, I don't know.
Weird girls.
Borderline personality disorder.
They're just weird
like,
girls.
They have some sort of like issue with presenting themselves as is. Maybe, you know, Hillary Baldwin, like I'm completely obviously speculating, but I don't know. Maybe it was some sort of like edge she found by like, she was like, okay, I kind of have a bit of Spanish. I have a weird loose tie. She got caught in a lie throughout the years, believed her own lie maybe. I don't know. Like
I'd say she just, there's no major harm because it actually happened with Alexa Chung and another YouTuber I follow, Jenny Welburn, where I live on YouTube. She's my fucking favorite YouTuber. If you want to watch some content of
Jenny Welburn. Who's
Welburn.
She?
She's the Where I Live girl.
Oh,
you know, the kind of vegan-y,
sustainable
bitch that I have Uni-bro shown.
Unibrow vibe.
Yeah, I've shown loads of people. They're like, why do you watch her? I'm like, I love her.
I've watched the odd video of hers.
Her videos are really aesthetically pleasing and stuff like that. But she made a video and Alexa Chung started this kind of trend of like, Alexa Chung had a YouTube series of like how to be French. And then all these French girls were like, stop sexualizing us. We don't eat croissants for breakfast. How dare you say this? That was an Italian accent. I'm sorry. Don't come for me. But I think it's that kind of like, it's such a reach. Like, I think it's random that Hillary Baldwin kind of like changed her name to Hilaria and like is pretending to be Spanish. It's weird. It's weird behavior. It's just a bit odd. But like, you know, to turn it into this like, you are sexualizing Spanish women and trying to steal our culture for your own. It's like,
Are people saying she's sexualized it?
Well, I think that's what happened with, like, say, the French thing. That, like, it's kind of like, it's a stereotype.
You're kind of fetishizing. Yeah, yeah.
And stereotype. Just kind of seeing all French people like that. Like, French girls who just, like, they throw no red lip. And yeah. You know, that kind
of thing. Well, like, I mean, and also, like, how many bitches, like, I've always known a bitch who is, like, from the south of Dublin, but, like, they're going around being semi-French. Like,
we know a bitch.
We know.
I am related to a bitch. My bitch sister. Now, my sister Sarah, she
French.
She kind of likes, she likes to dip the toe into the faux Spanish.
Oh,
she loves that. Yeah. Because, like, you know, we as a foursome, yourself included, we, like, wear a lot of tan. We have dark features. So a lot of times, like, if I'm, like, dressed up and going out, I'll get it a lot where, like, I'll get it a lot, Hans. We all kind of get it where someone will be like, oh, are you Spanish? Your mammy, where are you from? You can't be Irish, that kind of thing. And then I've heard Sarah a couple of times, and this is funny, so I'm not even talking right. I've heard it been like, no, but I really do think there must be something in my background because I get that all the time. And then when she went off to Spain for the year when she was teaching English, she came back and we'd be going into, like, random restaurants around fucking Malahide, and she'd be like, hola, got a table for two, dos table. I was like, Sarah. She's like, oh, sorry. I'm just so used to being in Spain.
But it's like, you know, the French is like being like a Francophile, or like, I mean, I would relate it to either like Francophilia, which a lot of girl indie bitch Instagram does, which, I mean, I'm not averse to it. They love the whole, as you're saying, like the Alexa Chung kind of
Amelie.
No, like, yeah, like the Realization Par, like that's an American brand. They're using all French shit, like this French girl aesthetic with like that. Even Glossier dabble into that shit. Or it's like someone who gets really into like Japanese anime culture.
And
you
it's
know?
Just like, I mean, I think the weird thing about like, you know, the kind of race issue or culture issue is that like people are seem to be trying to deny that there are stereotypes within culture and within race, and that just exists, and like not no one person invented that, you know the way. So like, say with the French, like the stereotypical French gal is kind of like, she spends 5 minutes getting ready in the morning, she has a little croissant, she's very slim, she puts on a denim jean and carries a little wicker bag and is going out the door, a little blush on my, you know, that kind of thing. And like the Spanish is more like sexy Spanish senorita, I love to dance, I love to dance.
But Penelope Cruz kind of vibe, you know.
Yeah, super sexual, gorgeous, kind of vivacious women, and that's the kind of stereotype.
Latin.
It doesn't mean that every Spanish girl is like that, but like,
and so, you know, Irish, it's a pint guzzling farmer's wife.
Why is ours so minging? So no wonder, like, you know, an American really doesn't have a lot of culture. There's not
that
kind of
Karen White culture.
Yeah.
So wonder she wanted to like remove herself from that bullshit.
It's kind of, you know, I think it's pretty weak in terms of like it being mean or from like a bad place, you know.
I do think it's like possible personality disorder area to be dabbling in. Like, I mean, it would be crazy if like, you know, this whole podcast, I'm like talking about my French family, and every now and again, I'm like, what is guck sucking? Like, you know what I mean? And then, like, someone looks and they're like, her mom and dad are from Dublin. Like, it is bizarre.
It's weird
bizarre
and it's
behavior.
Odd, but like, there are odd people out there. Like, I always call them horse girls.
A lot of celebrities are fucking odd.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they got there.
I mean, I call them horse girls. You know, the girl who was like obsessed with horses and dolphins in school. It's like those kind of girls. They're always a bit bloody weird, but like, let them off.
Yeah.
Like, I knew a girl in school. She had dolphin bed sheets, dolphins all over her wall, dolphin earrings. And I was like, okay, we
dolphins
get it.
Were a big thing in the 90s. I think she's more of a like, she gives me more of a like borderline personality case, like doesn't really know her personality, likes to adapt towards like something a bit interesting. She's a bit of a pick me as well, that kind of girl who's like, I'm so different to all the other girls, I'm Spanish.
Even that whole kind of like,
I wonder how Alec Baldwin feels about it.
He actually brought out a statement as well, and it was really weird, really really weird statement. He kind of was saying nothing, it was just like him speaking like,
he's like, hello, I'm an actor and I haven't spoken in years.
I never do this, but here we are. My wife is holding a gun to the back of my head. But what I think, this is my kind of take on the whole thing. I think that Hilary Baldwin, she's quite, like, she's pretty. She's quite plain. And obviously, like, her background is quite plain. It's not very exotic. So yeah. I think she kind of, like,
gave her an edge.
Yeah, and I think maybe it helped her get Alec Baldwin.
I think so too, probably.
I think, you know, because, like, if she was maybe just this girl from Massachusetts who, like, you know, blah 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 blah, but then maybe she was like, oh, I'll kind of make a spin, and I do have my, like, if my parents are living over in Spain and I'm going back and forth, so I'm picking up the culture when I visit there a lot, and she can speak Spanish, so she was probably like, I'll just dip into that a bit more.
Yeah, and know? Then she leaned so far in she couldn't get back up again. She was like, I am Spanish.
Yeah, she just, and I think that happens a lot where people, like, will lie and they'll believe their own lie. Like the Ileria, she came out and said that. She was like, my whole family call me Ileria, Ileria. So I just call me, like.
The Ileria thing is, that's probably the changing of your name.
Is really, is like the, your name is Hillary.
Yeah. It's like me being like, my name is Genevieve. It's
yeah, yeah.
My name's Jenny.
Or it's Jennifer. Like when I go to Spain and they're like, what is your name? And I'm like, Lindsay. They're like, Lindsay? So if I was like, oh no, my name is Lindsay.
No, but like, that's a pronunciation. Like, she fully changed her name.
Ileria.
It's like me going around calling myself Sinead, because that's the Irish. It's not my name. It's my name is Jennifer.
It's very peculiar, but it really, that was one of my most favorite takedowns in the last while, because it was just so innocent. Like, it was so silly. It wasn't rooted
everyone
in
got
like,
into it. Everyone
rape
got into
or
it.
Race. Or yeah, it was just and the way that she put up the little story was so funny.
Hillary, here's your invite. Come on the pod.
Yeah, let's talk. You can speak in Spanish.
Pink table. Our little studio, our table is a pink rectangle. So instead, maybe the red, instead of the red circle table, we can be like the pink rectangle table.
Larry, I think we need to sit down on the pink table and have a talk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so let's also talk about, I mean, this has to be, this like kicked off the new year.
Woo!
Kim K and Kanye, A, getting a divorce, and B, Jeffree Star being involved.
Jeffree Star being involved.
Cherry on top.
I mean, I just, that is like, okay, finally, we're in 2021.
Yes! I was like, so let's talk first about Kim and Kanye. I mean, I'm sad about it. I can't lie. I'm sad about it. It's not that I'm like shocked.
No, there has been no statement from either Kim or Kanye.
And there's no papers being filed.
Yeah. So, but I am.
It's going to happen because E! News, allegedly, like the Kardashians, like they never really make statements, but they make all their statements through E!
But it is interesting though, because she did make the statement when he was running for president, kind of coming out with all that stuff. She wrote that huge big, I can't remember if it was a notes app screen grab or whatever the fuck it was, but she
did write
the whole.
It was after he was crying.
And he had been saying quite insane things about Kim and, you know, and been quite crazy on Twitter and everything.
He went... for reference, he on one of his presidential like thingies, lectures, he's basically like broke down in tears telling this story about like how Kim initially was going to like have an abortion when she was pregnant with North, and that he's like really happy that she didn't,
which is,
it's crazy. Look, it's, I mean,
it's wild.
Yeah, but like, I mean,
highly inappropriate.
But the man clearly has like severe mental health issues. Like, he is 100%, like, I mean, he's been diagnosed with bipolar. He goes through manic episodes. He refuses to be
medicated.
He used to be medicated. He's been off his medication for a year. You know, so that is probably why that happened. And it was clearly a bit of a manic episode.
And it's
I'm sure it's rooted in truth, but him saying that
is inappropriate. It's inappropriate for his wife and for his daughter.
Yeah. Now, doubled down and defended him after that, but then about a month later, in July, end of July, he went on this other Twitter rampage where he was saying that Kim was trying to get him 5150'd, which is like involuntarily put into a psychiatric unit. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he started calling. He called Kris Jenner, Kris Jong-un.
Do you know what? The man's fucking hilarious.
I mean, like, look, I like my celebrity. Like, some of the
most, I've always liked Kanye.
I love Kanye. And you will not fucking, I hate when I see trash talk on Kanye. I'm like, fuck off, leave him alone, for God's sake.
I mean,
I will stan him. I'm sorry.
He's like highly intelligent. He's highly inspiring in that, like, you know, I love that when he says he's going to do something, like with Yeezy and fashion, he did.
And his
rants
like,
surpassed. And like, I mean, he will surpass, like he will set these goals for himself and surpass them. So like, I love that. That's so inspiring. Like for us having a business and stuff like that, it's dabbing all over the place. Yeah. But it is so sad because Kim really seemed to love him. There did seem to be like love there and a mutual respect.
I do think, like, I was talking to a few people around about it, mainly Fiona, your sissy, because I think this was going down when you were quite sick actually as well. So
I know it was annoying. I couldn't look at my phone. Yeah. The screen was really sore.
So I do understand it from the allegedly. Then this is my personal take. So allegedly they've been living apart since July. He's been living in Wyoming, she's been living in LA, and they've both been fine with it. And like, he talks to the kids all the time. She's just kind of managing the kids in Hidden Hills. He is on their ranch in Wyoming, living his life out there. He likes it out there. It's peaceful. There's no paparazzi, all the rest. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a culmination of two things. I think Kim probably did try get him 51-50'd, mm-hmm. which I don't think is a bad thing.
Which is an act of love, maybe, on her part.
And we don't know what's going on in the background. You know, if anyone has any experience in like people going through like psychotic episodes or manic episodes, I mean, it can be so detrimental and it can be very scary. And sometimes the only thing you can do is to like get someone the care that they need, even if it unfortunately can be against their will sometimes. And she would have the right to do that as his wife. You know, he doesn't have, I presume she's like his next of kin and all that kind of stuff. So she would be the only one, I think, who could actually do that. I think then he moved to Wyoming, because you can only do that in California, as far as I know. It's like a 51-50 clause in California. I know, because Trisha Paytas had one done to her. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone out there. I'm sure you will. But I feel like he moved then. And then I think the biggest thing for them is like his refusal and maybe his right to be unmedicated. But I think that maybe like Kim is kind of like, okay, like if that's your choice, like I can't maybe be in like a union of marriage with you anymore, because it could be just like extremely chaotic and like harmful for our kids. And I feel that the main reason that the divorce is happening, because I actually do think Kim would be happy. I mean, they've been doing it for allegedly 6-7 months now. I think Kim would be happy to like kind of be married but live a separate life, but maybe there's some sort of they're so rich, like there's some sort of asset embroilment. I know he's spending all this money on this ranch in like Wyoming, which apparently like it always gave me manic vibes. He's like, I'm gonna build a city here and there's gonna be all, you know, I'm gonna invite all these like, you know, black people to live here so we can all live. And you know, he's had this like idea, which is like obviously like, you know, I mean, plenty of artists have done it before, but like where they've had these like compounds almost with like all these people that live in. But like maybe she's like, okay, how much money are we spending here and should you have access? I mean, he's richer than her by a slight margin apparently, but like, you know, you can understand that being in a marriage where you're like, okay, do I want to be responsible for all these other decisions now, you know, that way. Like I feel like the divorce is almost like a business decision when you're that rich. I feel like that kind of does come into it, you know.
Totally. And you know, I'm sure there was some kind of prenup or whatever, because they were both really wealthy.
Yeah. And I wonder,
it wasn't
like
their first marriage. And well, it was his, wasn't it?
It was his first marriage, her third. Well, she got one annulled, but I wonder as well with the prenup, that was my other theory, like they're married 7 years, so I wonder, is there, you know, like sometimes in prenups there's clauses like 5 years this happens, I wonder, is there a 10-year clause where she's like, look, if we're married for another 3 years, you're entitled to XYZ, or you know what I mean? So she's might like have to divorce him now before that happens.
I'd say it's a
combination, maybe.
Yeah. And definitely, I mean, it's sad that I think his brilliance is probably also attached to his mania and his mental
100%.
You know, kind of he's mentally like, I mean, I think it aids him, which I can understand, because I remember thinking this, and obviously like my mental health is not in comparison to, you know, something
but it's
like
your
that.
Own experience.
Well, my own experience from it was that when I was dealing with like anxiety, like hyper anxiety and stuff, and I was thinking about medication, but I was like, oh, what if it changes me? What if it dulls me? What if it like stops my creativity, or like I remember thinking, like, because obviously like we you know, at the time we're doing like shows and doing stand up, and like I'd be writing out all these jokes in like moments of kind of like anxiousness or like needing to get work done, and that was how I would expel like my anxiety, by like writing all these jokes, and they came from sometimes a point of like these anxious manic thoughts.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I medicate myself, am I going to lose part of my humor, you know? And a lot of people,
it's a big artist struggle. You hear of it all the time, like, you know. It's also why I find it so weird that like the conversation around Kanye so often is so negative. I'm like, what do you, like, when you look at like some of the greatest artists of all time, what do you think, they were normal? No, they're abnormal people a lot of the time, especially people like producing that amount of work. Like the man like conquered the rap industry, changed it, then conquered the fashion industry, and is like constantly working on stuff, constantly like designing, and his friends and all the, like these people, some people are high functioning in that category, you know. Some people are like, can have like, you know, say even like someone like, I don't know, like Elon Musk, who seems to be wired totally different than anyone else. So he's like a functioning, I'm not saying he's mentally ill, but like he, the way that he, you know, adapts his mentality and like to work so hard and be like so, you know,
innovative,
exactly. It functions for him. So for some people, it doesn't function all the time. Maybe Kanye, it used to function for him, and now it's come to a fork in the road. I think
there's a functioning, but I think it's just, it's never going to be normal.
Yeah.
So like in that regard, like I'd say Elon Musk, like, it's
they're abnormal. You know,
like the, it's like, I mean, and then to be married to that.
You're very hard. And she has to take care of her kids. And it's not like, it's not saying that like they can't be around their dad, but maybe she's just like, look, we don't know the clauses of their marriage or whatever, what else is tied up in it, you know, that way. Because I did read an article, me and Evan were like having a fight of who's richer. I was like, I think they're pretty much 50-50. And he was like, I don't know, I think Kanye is. Kanye's like marginally, his net worth is more, but she's more cash rich. So like, okay, Yeezy's worth a lot of money, but like he might not have that in cash, but she has a lot of cash because she would have been like paid a lot for the Kardashians. She sold like 20% of KKW Beauty to Coty, and that like gave for like hundreds of millions. Like, so she's like more cash rich. So maybe that's an asset thing where she's like, we're technically,
he has access to her cash possibly.
Yeah, well, he would 100%. Yeah. And in LA where they're married, their access is 50-50.
Really?
Yeah. So that's like, you know, unless you have, and like they have prenups, I'm sure, but like it is sad. I mean,
they're an iconic, and you know, we all like, you lose, I think, but you know what? Are there, actually, let's have a little think for thought for a moment. I think the most iconic celebrity couples, whether they got married or whether they were just dating for a few years, I don't think they ever last. You know, like,
well, 7 years, I mean, it's like dog years, right? 7 years in Hollywood for a marriage.
Yeah,
that's but a I, long
I don't
say
a lot of the time, the more iconic
relationships.
Don't last, and the more kind of boring ones seem to last, because, and that's probably why, because it's just more functioning.
It's so,
do you know,
sad,
the way
I really, really stan Kim and Kanye. Like, it's the
they
most
were iconic.
It is a basic bitch element of moi, but like, I really do. I'm like, it was just so
their
cute.
Their kids are beautiful.
Their kids are so stunning. He enabled her glow up so much. Like Kim Kardashian West is not Kim Kardashian. Like, he enabled so much of her eye for fashion. He curated her, and she, like, it was completely like consensual, you know. It wasn't this like controlling thing.
But she adored his vision and his genius, and she kind of I think as well, like, you know, when you see how much more successful he became because of her, I think she respected, and like as a union and probably as a soundboard, that they seem to both kind of like you know, feed off each other, and it aided both of their glow up, like, you know.
Well, for him, I feel like he had to sacrifice a lot. You know, he lost a lot of respect in the music industry. Like, he obviously had a huge falling out with Jay-Z. Like, he and that was kind of a thing from love for him. I did see that as like he kind of foregoed his rock star.
But I think
Kanye West is a rock star. Like, he kind of did forego his rock star like persona by marrying into the Kardashians.
But I think in hindsight, I think at the start when, you know, they first got married and, you know, she was kind of seen as more of a joke or whatever. But I think his vision will always surpass, you know, say others a lot of the time. So I think he knew, even though like at the start, like, and Jay-Z and Beyonce were like, you know, they didn't want to be involved with the Kardashians and that kind of stuff. But I think Kanye's vision surpassed. And now, like, I mean, look at Kim, like, she is now a rock star as well.
Well,
and I
what
think he regained
did,
that kind of status.
100%.
But I think it kind of let down just because of mental health and the things that he was saying. But I think she very much aided his, like, she kind of gave him the space to be himself as well. You know,
yeah,
she didn't try and squash him. And like now, look at Jay-Z and Beyonce. They're the fucking basic bitches. They're not rock stars.
Well,
they're boring as fuck.
Totally. And like, he, like, you know, what he did was, because he is a rock star, he elevated Kim's like sartorial kind of vision to his level. Instead of being like, okay, I'm marrying into the Kardashians, I'm going to go down to your level, which everyone thought of him.
And he maintained his boundaries by not being on the show and like when the show stopped. And like, you know, the show totally changed as well when like he came around. Like it wasn't as personal. That kind
Yeah, no, totally. And they're fucking kids. I mean, dear God, their kids are stunning. And they wanted seven.
Their kids are beautiful.
Do you know what? Okay, I'm going to call
like
it
flipping models.
I wouldn't be surprised if they, if she like has another kid with Kanye, like as in like via a surrogate. Because she's having surrogate babies anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if she still grows the family with Kanye. Because I don't think, I can't see her remarrying. I really can't. Maybe she will.
Let's guess what she's going to do. Okay. Do you think she's going to do similar to like Kourtney? Kourtney Kardashian, when she split with Scott, she obviously went out with that ride of a model, whatever his name was.
I don't think so. I think...
She obviously like, I mean, the Kardashians are also known to kind of hire boyfriends. Like that's always kind of like ambiguous.
Especially like Kendall, like she's gay or whatever secretly. And like, she
and then she's always around like Harry Styles or whatever. Mm. And like Kourtney has like these like...
Who was she going out with again from One Direction? Wasn't she going out with someone from One Direction, Kourtney?
Kendall. Kourtney. No, Kourtney was...
Niall Horan. Was it not she fucked him or something? Remember that? Wasn't that a big fucking rumor?
Are you not mixing up with Justin Bieber?
Probably, yes, I am.
The Justin Bieber thing happened when...
Justin
Bieber and Kourtney Kardashian, they were linked. And also Justin Bieber was linked to Miranda Kerr. I forgot that fucking gasness.
Remember him and...
him and Orlando had like...
a big fight.
Yeah, gas.
But I don't know. I can kind of see Kim being like...
Because Kourtney seems to like... jump off these kind of male socialites. She also was attached to that Luke Sabbat guy who's like a model, and he's like super
she's
big socialite.
Very hot boyfriends.
Yeah, and they're most definitely hired.
Oh yeah.
Like, well, it's a business.
Mutual.
Yeah, transactional kind of thing. Like it obviously like elevates their fame and
I'm sure they like each other, but it's definitely like a Britney and Colin Farrell kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't really call it. I really can see, because I know Kourtney also said that she would have another baby by Scott. She was like, I don't want another dad.
Yeah.
So I can actually see Kim. I mean, and in the world of the Kardashians, that's not unusual. I can see her being like, look, she's having a surrogate anyway.
And they have so many kids.
And they wanted seven.
So they're already attached.
Yeah. And they've been having surrogate babies. She only had North and one other by herself, right? I think it was North, and what's the other one? Is it Saint?
I think she was only pregnant once.
Maybe she was, because she got really bad diabetes and all this shit, and she was told she can't basically hold another pregnancy. And also, she's rich, so why the fuck not?
Yeah,
she has the same surrogate all the time as well. So it's like, you know.
I think, like, I mean, I'm very much a tinfoil hat with Kim. I think, like, she was dragged by her pregnancy. She looked shit pregnant, no offense to her. Remember, like, that.
She was very sick, though.
Yeah, but it's very rare that you would not be able to hold a pregnancy. Very rare. So I think she's just like, it's an easier way for her to say it. I'm sure she got like diabetes. That happens with a lot of pregnant women.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was dragged, her facially. And like, I mean, and I understand it. Like,
remember the whale outfit, the killer whale?
What?
Remember she was wearing that dress and it was like
the
black
attached gloves
and white. No. Oh. It was the black maxi dress and it was like black on the back and white on the front, but she looked like a killer whale.
She looked so bad. Yeah, she turned into a meme when she was pregnant.
Which is like, when else
remember
do you
at
see
the
that
Met Gala?
A pregnant fucking woman.
To be a pregnant
horrible.
Meme. And like Kim Kardashian, the Met Gala, when everyone was like, she looks like a couch.
Oh, I feel bad for her.
So I think that's why she doesn't go do the pregnancies. Yeah. Because like her wealth is her looks.
Yeah, and also like, why the fuck would you when you're like so rich anyway?
How fucking
and like, that's what I think. I think she will probably, I can see her having another kid with Kanye in like 2 years or something. Like even by surrogacy. Because I'd say she wants all of her kids to be Kanye's kids anyway. I think she defo has a bit of an obsession like with Kanye. She definitely like idolizes him and sees him as like a visionary genius.
And he is. I mean, I'm sure she has like had the reality of that, seeing how her fame was propelled with him and like how he like... micromanaged her. Like the way that he transformed her image is amazing.
Do you remember when she was robbed in Paris and like the reason that he was over in Paris is like he saw a picture of her the night before and didn't like her outfit and flew to Paris to like give her a new outfit.
He's
he was like, no.
I remember that, like when they on. I never watched the.
I know what you're saying, the Kardashians. Yeah, she's like,
you probably know more about that than I do. I didn't.
I wasn't a big watcher. I'd watch it kind of in passing, but I remember there was that outfit, that episode where like she had just started going out with Kanye, yeah. And she was like in this room with like all these runner rails everywhere, and she's like, oh, Kanye sent all these clothes for me, like Balmain, like he like got her in with Balmain, like all that kind of shit.
But he also like curated her wardrobe, like she was dressed like shit,
and she never got invited to Fashion Week before she started going out with him.
And they got the cover of Goddamn Vogue.
That was iconic.
And that was a huge feat. I remember Anna Wintour was like trying to stop that from happening for years.
Cunt. She's an arsehole.
She is an arsehole.
Get over yourself, you bobhead bitch.
I know. Like, move on. Unfortunately, we don't like to see models in the cover anymore.
You can just tell that's she has this like underlying like hatred, like of like racist shit beneath her. Like, I can just tell she wouldn't even like the fact that like a rapper is going on the cover. Like, she has this like classist thing of like only black models and supermodels. Like, not like, you know, rappers. She's even like, she's like, rappers are the new fucking rock stars. Get the fuck over
she's
it.
She's the opposite of a visionary. Yeah. She's someone who didn't grow with the times and just refused to grow and like acknowledge that, like, and now going to, I remember growing up, Vogue was like 7 to 8 euro. Now it's fucking 2 or 3 euro.
Well, that's the death of print as well.
But I also think it's because they didn't like move, except that beautiful cover of Paloma. That was a gorgeous cover for Vogue.
Your man Edward Enfield's doing good stuff over British Vogue, though.
He is. And yeah, he got Kate Moss back on the cover, which is pounds. Like, that's what we want to see.
Yeah.
Literally just put Kate Moss on the cover.
People
every
were so
month.
Annoying. I put up a picture of Kate Moss on the cover of Vogue and I was like, how does she look like this? And so many people wrote in my DMs being like, she doesn't. It's called Photoshop. I'm like, okay, A.
No, it's not.
Bitch, I go away with a photographer. I know, like, also, she's an incredible model. She's in her 40s. Give her a bit of slack, will you?
She's constantly photographed on Daily Mail looking amazing.
Yeah.
I think she got a little bit of very subtle work done.
It's called good work.
She stopped drinking, apparently.
Yeah.
She still smokes. I think as well, she's just like, she is a fucking supermodel. She has been in the biz for years. She would have picked up like incredible tips and like she would know the best facialists and the best kind of treatments and everything like that.
She's just a rock star.
But like her cheekbones are just like,
face just
her
like,
skin is just like, she's just fucking gorgeous. Yeah. And also she's so cool and she's so like the way she dresses, so she's just always gonna look gorgeous. Bloody deal with it.
It's like Sophia Loren kind of vibe, you know. She needs like slight tweaks but still looks like incredible. So let's talk about the Jeffree Star element, because dear God, that was a comedic break.
Sorry,
this divorce
that
needed.
100%.
Like, so the bitch who broke this story is the TikToker who licked the toilet during the COVID challenge.
Fuck off.
Yeah. So you know that bitch who licked the toilet on the
And
on
then
the
she
airplane?
Did a really annoying YouTube. Someone, yeah. What was her name again? Do we know her name? Let me just quickly Google girl who licked toilet. I'm scared.
And leaked like fake information on Jeffree Star, Kim and Kanye. Why?
So she is someone who is absolutely obsessed with becoming famous because... I found her YouTube and she's pretending to be this kind of like Paris Hilton fucking dumb bitch. Yeah. Like, so she was trying to, like, she did that. She purposely is trying to go viral and stuff like that. I want to find her name.
And she basically came on TikTok and was like, so finally Kim is filing for fucking divorce and I can finally spill the tea that I've been holding in for so long. Rumor has it that Kanye has been fucking a beauty influencer and fucking a male beauty influencer. I wonder who else is living in Wyoming, because Jeffree Star obviously bought a ranch in Wyoming. Now, the thing is like, that's weird when you see it on top first. You're like, oh yeah, why are they both living in Wyoming? I looked into it. Apparently there's like major, major tax benefits to live in Wyoming.
Okay.
And it's also the least populated state.
So we love our researcher queen.
It's also the least populated state in America. So I can understand why someone as famous as Kanye would like to live there. You can buy like 5 million acres and have no one on your property. Like, he doesn't want to be seen by the paparazzi. So like, perfect place.
And he has his church there and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So
and
like,
by the way, how fun does that fucking look?
Oh my God, Sunday service. Speaking of, Jeffree Star did the best thing. So like, this whole shit was blowing up. Jeffree Star said nothing. And then he put up a photo of him in this like fucking wild wig being like, ready for Sunday service. And loads of idiots were like,
he's so fucking, he's so a bad. Fucking comedic genius. He is so
one
funny.
Of the entertainers of our generation.
He's able to just like extract like such like humor out of the most like kind of vile shit, you know, the way
he's
like
just
something
like,
that's he's just so
of,
funny.
He's just like, because he has grown up with internet fame, so he understands the internet so well,
and he's got so much hate. I just think it now is like it just water off a duck back, and he's able to like use it for his benefit and make a joke of it. And
everything's been said about him, so it's like nothing hurts anymore, I guess. And he basically ate. But did you see that photo?
No.
Oh my God, I think
did he have the orange wig?
No, green and purple. It was fucking iconic. It was
I saw the one that you were talking about where he is talking about his gun and it's like pink. And he's like, yes, girl. You know that I don't play.
He's like, yes, queen. That is how we do it in Wyoming. Pink custom AK-47. And then the other day he was in his car and he was like, on my way to the coffee shop, got my Birkin, got my Glock, like a fucking gold gun.
But he's wild. But I just love how insanely sexual he is.
But look at that.
Oh my God! Fucking gas.
Ready for Sunday service? Like, and loads of idiots were like, "He's confirmed it." I'm like, "That is Jeffrey Star making fun of you."
No, he's capitalizing on it, you thick bitches.
I'm making fun of you as if he was actually getting fucked.
Making fun, but also capitalizing.
Yeah, exactly. And he did a video.
Like, I mean, it's genius. It's amazing for him that he was able to be attached to the biggest news story in 2 years.
I know.
Nothing came out fucking last year.
True.
Your one's called Ava Louise. And if you look up her on YouTube, she was on Dr. Phil. I'd rather die hot than live ugly. And she is ugly. She just has an ugly personality. I would never say someone's ugly physically, but like she's just like such. She is like the spawn of what the internet has created and this kind of like, you know, people being able to get famous. Like she's just like her whole life is. She's just trying to get famous.
I mean, that popped off. That's so crazy awkward. That popped off so much. People took that seriously after she licked a damn toilet. But like,
and then she did this YouTube that randomly didn't get a lot of views because I saw it before.
Really?
And she was like sat with her like a, she was like draped in kind of like Balenciaga, like trying to make herself look like this influencer, like this rich person. She had like a gay guy in the back, like who's dressed like mental, and she's like, "I just want to address what happened," but like so not funny, so like. She's scripted everything. She's trying to curate herself into this like celebrity, which
and
is
she
like,
looks it like not like she looks like if you think of like basic Instagram baddie influencer American, that's what she looks like. She's like wearing the Gucci tights and has her nips out and like no hate to that, but it's just a stereotype of what you see. Like,
but she's trying
real
to,
label whore. Like everything's label.
And what we're seeing, this is what we're gonna see. Like, I mean, the thing about like say being cancelled or like that kind of shit, it is just free publicity and it always will uplift and keep you relevant and stuff like that. So now, if you are like, so now obviously people are trying to capitalize on that. So like, there's one YouTube here where she's saying Ava Louise on beef with Bad Bobby, skinny from the nine, the fat people, poor people, and more. So she's obviously trying to say these like wild statements just to get like, you know, cancelled.
She's trying to be controversial
attention. And
you know?
Then like her following will grow. So just remember that when you're cancelling people, that it actually is just transcending them into
she's friends
a higher
with
platform.
Tana Mojo, of course.
And she's just always calling people out on IG Live.
I hate that shit. So, but yeah, the Jeffree Star thing, I mean, like, absolutely. What a, because people really took it seriously because he does have a song from back in the day and he's like, "I sucked up Kanye West, now I'm one of the bros."
I mean, I have to say, I believe it. I can't not believe it.
Well, then he said, oh no, he has got with a load of rappers. He's always said that. So this is why I guess there was the believability, because I think he went on Shane Dawson's podcast and he talked a lot about this. He was like, you know, because he was signed with Akon back in the day, him and Lady Gaga. Like he was known as he was going to be the next Lady Gaga. And then that all went to shit. Akon went to jail and like his contract and all that stuff was gone. But
Akon.
Yeah.
He went to jail.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. He went to jail for like some tax evasion or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I could be wrong, but something happened anyway.
Yeah.
With his contract and it basically fell
through. Was that his song, Lonely? I am so lonely.
Yeah. And like he did like Lady Gaga's first album, you know, produced it. And,
for a fucking platter.
Yeah, had a hand with it. He had a knack for like finding really famous people, and like Jeffree Star even on one of his earliest songs had like one of the first Nicki Minaj features, like crazy shit. So he was very much in with that whole, he was in with like the Vans kind of like emo scene, but also there was a crossover with that with the kind of rap scene at the time. And he said that like he was always like getting or dating with these like rappers and rocker kind of got dudes, and they always kept him secret. So that's why like the whole Kanye West thing, kind of like, she basically saw a gap in the market. She was like, I can fucking run with this. But like Jeffree Star did a video and he was like, just so you know, I like my men tall, because like Kanye West is like famously quite small, and like Jeffree Star is so fucking tall, like you can just tell.
Yeah,
he's like 6'1". Like Kanye West is like 5'7" or something.
I would love to see Jeffree Star in person.
No, I remember when he was in Dublin, I was like, the thoughts, him and Kim Kardashian, I would just love to see them.
Yeah,
move.
Just to see what that looks like in real life.
I just am like, to see the two of them,
I'd love to see, and I'd also love to see Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I did nails, a girl came in and she'd randomly bumped into Kylie Jenner in LA. And she came back and she'd taken a selfie, and it just looked like her selfies on.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, no. Yeah, she looked amazing. So I was like, whoa. I can't imagine actually seeing that kind of person in real life.
But I would love just to see Kim's body.
I'd love to see the body.
She's tiny. She's like, what, 5'2"?
I'd love to see her naked. Oh, yeah. In person, and kind of just look like as if she was in a museum, and I'm like, okay, let's just notepad.
Yeah, I'd love to see like Jeffree Star bopping around Brian Thomas in one of his crazy outfits, just to see like what his energy, like, hello, yes, Miss Thang.
And like everyone, anytime he gets like a guest on, you know the way he's always like, do I look younger? Do I look different in person?
Look at my skin. Tell them what my skin looks like. I'm like, that is fucking
sass. And they're like, you literally don't have a pore, Jeffrey. You don't have a pore. What the fuck?
Fair play to him. So shall we move on to probably our most requested and most fucking tagged thing in history?
Oh my good God.
The Sex and the City reboot.
Yowzer.
So obviously,
sorry, that's fun.
That's really fun. You guys know our affinity for Sex and City. We don't.
When did we say that? What were you? Did Evan play some jazz or something?
Oh yeah. No, you rang me once and you were like, "Are you listening to jazz in the back end?" And I was like, "Yeah." And you're like, "Jenny likes a jazz."
Oh my gosh.
So obviously Sarah Jessica Parker put up on her Instagram yesterday,
I ain't ready, hon.
I know, I'm gonna talk shit in it. I'm sorry. Everyone's not girls, ready. Are we screaming? Because like obviously early last year there was loads of rumors that
been flying for so long,
there's another movie. And so, then obviously the whole Kim Cattrall thing. Look, we did a whole fucking episode on this shit. We've done so many episodes. We've done revisiting the movie.
And we're going to do more. I actually checked my notes where I write down brainstorming. One was like, when Carrie was the most problematic. That could be a gas episode. So that could be coming. So the last Sex and City 2, I'm just on Wikipedia here now, honey bunnies, 2010. Mm. Wow. So 11 years ago was Sex and City 2. The first movie obviously was shit. I hated the first one. The second one, I was able to just loosen up and enjoy it for what it was.
I liked the first one. The second one. The second one is so bad. And like, it was just like such a movie that did not need to be made. Like, I hated the like start of it where it's like Liza Minnelli at the wedding. It was just like the first one.
I mean,
one,
it's
like,
tacky and awful and not a good piece. Like, in comparison, of
they're
course.
They're both terrible movies.
Both awful movies. At least just the first, at least the second one, I think there was more of a story arc. So I kind of enjoyed that.
Let's talk. I think we did, because we have a whole episode revisiting the Sex and the City movie. Yeah. And we did.
Well, I just,
briefly synopsize, I liked the first one because like it made more sense. The show had just like ended. It was like, you know, everyone, like obviously we saw at the end that Carrie gets a big, and it was kind of like obviously very expected, they're gonna have a wedding. I didn't love the storyline, but like I kind of liked the revisitation. I remember just at that time when I just finished watching Sex and the City, the movie was coming out very soon after,
and we were thirsty, everyone was thirsty for more. I think
the second one was just so
Second one was corny as fuck, and it was so what I liked about
they looked old.
Yeah, that was the main thing. I went to see the first one, both of them in the cinema. A little nerd going to see my favorite show in the movies. And I remember like sitting down, I went to see it in Cavan with my friend from college, the first one. And like, and girls were fully like bringing cocktails into the cinema,
so
and like wearing their little heels. It was so dressing up fucking adorable. But I remember seeing on the big screen, I was like, okay, they look fucking haggard. The men looked great. Steve looked a bit like, but Mr. Big, amazing. Fab. Aiden Harry looked fab. Looks fab. Aiden looked amazing, but Carrie, like Sarah Jessica Parker, is she was a ballerina. She is so skinny.
Yeah, she's very thin.
Skinny women age much quicker.
Yeah, you need a bit of fat and collagen. She needs to get a bit of work done on her face. Her body still looks great. I mean, she's very thin, obviously, but like it just kind of suits her. She's a very lithe little woman.
Yeah.
But like, if I was her, I'd be getting some sort of like
filler or something in the face.
Just like good, like collagen. I don't know. She can afford that shit.
A load of peels.
That weird shit that they all get that are like boosts the collagen in your face. I'm like,
she
on.
Needs it because she looked old. She looked old.
Yeah, and like she does age gracefully in a way as well. Like I can respect it. It's like an Audrey Hepburn kind of vibe, but like. When you're on that HG, like we're not in the 40s anymore. Honey, when
I know,
guesses.
And you're not Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah. You know? So let's just keep it to the reboot. Obviously, the reboot is going to be on HBO Max. So it's going to be a TV show. That is the one thing I'm happy about, I will say.
Yeah, going back to the roots.
Going back to the roots. And, you know, it's funny. It's called Just Like That. And then she hashtagged, and just like that, hashtag SATC next chapter. Oh, she actually tagged an account. It's called Just Like That. Oh my God. So the show's going to be like Just Like That? I thought it was going to be like called, maybe they couldn't get Sex in the City because fucking Kim Cattrall won't be in it. Wah, wah.
Ooh.
So this is obviously the biggest thing.
This is the biggest thing because this was the rumors and the conversation that was going around. So they, as a foursome, you know, they were trying to, everyone was up for a reboot.
Except for Kim Cattrall.
And there was so much drama and Kim Cattrall had made it quite public and there was like the producers came out and spoke about it, the other actors, like everyone was taking sides. It was pretty toxic.
Again, listen to our Sex and City episodes. We go into it all.
We go into it. And like it definitely, the difficult thing about like, or the upsetting thing for two massive fans, like we always say, like this was really like one of the reasons that we became so close because our shared obsession and we were able to just like, you know, comb through every little thing. Like we've said it before, we've never barely watched an episode together, but because we separately watched them.
We did recently, remember?
We did recently and it was great.
About a month
finally.
Or two ago, that was great.
But usually we would watch it separately and then would pick up the same things. Or you'd pick up something and I would pick up. So we loved it and were obsessed. So it did definitely dampen the movies and then the drama definitely dampened my kind of like ability to watch it without having that in my head. And that's so annoying.
Because it came out basically like it was all these rumors and then Piers Morgan had Kim Cattrall on his show and kind of said like, are you not kind of friends with him? And she's like, we've got no friendship whatsoever. And that was kind of like, she's very upfront.
She is upfront, but I wish she wasn't. You know, it's kind of like those people who are like, I just say it how it is. It's like, okay, no, you don't have to.
I can get it in a way though, if she is being like,
She felt like she was being mistreated in work. And
well, not even that. Like I could understand if like, she's like put Sex and the City to bed. And like if shit did go down on set that she wasn't happy with. And now because three other women, Cynthia Nixon, Kirsty Davis, is that her name?
And Kirsten Davis,
Kirsten Davis and Sarah Jessica Parker, because the three of them are so aligned and on board for the new one, she's kind of vilified as like the woman who won't let it happen.
Yeah.
And then I think people still see them, people who don't really know much about the tea, they might see her as like, why are you ruining this thing with your friends? So I can understand her being like, look, we're not friends. Like I did not go on to have a friendship with them. It is a professional decision on my behalf. Like she didn't sign a fucking contract to keep the fantasy alive 20 years later.
And I totally understand that. And I absolutely think she made the right decision. I think the movie shouldn't have been made.
100%.
Personally, I mean, I enjoy them and I was glad to get a little bit extra.
Even
but
Chris Knott said that, Mr. Big. Chris Knott was like, those movies shouldn't have been made.
And like, so true, because like, I can rewatch Sex and City over and over and over again. I didn't really need those movies. Yes, I was thirsty for more and I understand why they did it, to make money and to capitalize, but like, it did dampen the kind of iconic.
Chris Knott said it perfectly.
Yeah.
The movies were corny. The show was never corny.
But I do think I always felt a bit let down by Kim Cattrall, Samantha, for like, regardless of what happened in the background, and everyone has their own opinions, they have all like, it's been public, they've spoken about it. I do think that shit for the fan base should be kept private because it does stop people being able to keep on enjoying the show.
I guess, but like, I can understand from her perspective that like, you know, first of all, she isn't the one who spilled all the tea. It was other people on, remember that podcast we listened to? Like, other people were spilling the tea on like why she didn't like it. Like, she has never come out and been like, this is exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, they all have a personal responsibility, I think, to maintain the kind of
the secrecy. And the romance,
the
a little
dream.
Bit, the fantasy.
Yeah, and
you
the
know?
Fantasy. And the whole show was always about the fantasy. Like, Patricia Field, who was the the costume designer, she always said, like, it doesn't make sense. And that's the beauty and the fantasy. Yeah. It doesn't make sense that Carrie is living in this amazing apartment. She writes one little column a week and she's like decked head to toe in like
designer clobber
luxury fucking items that like she would never be able to afford. It doesn't matter. It's just fun to like get a feast of fashion from your eyes. But it's intriguing that so they're not doing it as Sex and the City.
The caption was, I couldn't help but wonder, where are they now? XSJP. I do love that she signs off every single Instagram post with XSJ. Carrie Bradshaw.
It's so she Carrie, is Carrie Bradshaw.
Do you know what? You know the way Hilaria Baldwin? She has Sarah Parker has like become Carrie.
She has.
It's crazy.
Like she lives in a brownstone in New York.
And she's like, huh. Like she's very just like.
She brought out a shoe line. She was never like fashion forward before.
I think they did say that like, you know, that was a thing that like as SJP got more control, she kind of ended up like, you know, like she stopped Carrie smoking because she stopped smoking. And like she did have more control. So she actually kind of made Carrie more like herself. So it is kind of chicken and the egg. What came first, SJP or the fucking
so
Carrie?
So true.
Which is interesting. But so let's talk about the show. I've got some predictions and why I am not looking forward to this. Yet I will be watching. Of course we're going to watch. And we will be doing her a fucking review. Okay?
Of course. I hate
that people
are like, nope, I won't watch it. Nope. Like
you're a big boring old fart.
I know. Like just to like accept that it won't be as like Sex and the City. The show still exists.
I do like that they're not calling it Sex and the City. I have to say,
it's I think it's kind of like I think it is
just like that.
So let's think of where that came from.
It's
just
from
like
her typing. Have you watched the trailer?
No.
Oh, Liz.
I know. I'm gonna go on
the bare minimum here.
I've been so like I know I've been tagged. I was. I don't know. There was something that was like stopping me.
I get you.
You know,
there's not much. So it's like scenes of modern New York and then it cuts to her computer and just like that, dot, 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 dot. And then it's like scenes of New York. And then it's like, I couldn't help but wonder. Like, it's like the old looking at her computer, her typing.
Now, I think what's amazing about it is, and I've spoken to this with my sister. I think it is amazing to have older women represented on television.
Like that's Desperate why, Housewives, or not Desperate Housewives, well,
yeah, Real Housewives, Housewives.
Real Housewives.
Yeah, well. It's like you're getting to see. Like it is amazing for, you know, someone like obviously we're young. Like I'm 33, you're 30, but like it is. You're 31, aren't you?
I am.
Sorry to drop the age. You don't look a day over 20.
34 yourself in March, aren't I? If I'm not wrong.
I got a message the other day and it was like, oh my goodness, I never knew you were 33. I just saw it on Pete Farrell's story. I was like, fuck off.
I did. Like, remember I sent you that tweet of one of our haters? They were like, aren't those two podcast birds in their 40s? Verify, that was a funny
aren't
tweet.
They middle-aged?
Aren't they middle-aged women?
Dies at 60?
That just hopefully
not. Sorry.
That did crack me up on, so congrats on that tweet.
No, it's absolutely hilarious.
Those two podcast birds.
That's so funny as well. Like, you and I are so not the kind of girls to be like, age shame, like we don't care,
we just don't care.
And I'd never be like, don't say my age.
I also don't pretend to be any younger than I am. I'm like, I love my age. I'm like,
yeah, I'm 33. I look good. We look good. Maybe. But yeah, I do as a 33 year old. And I do think, you know, sometimes we can be so obsessed with youth and like women, especially, can be so obsessed with youth and look. So it's nice to be able to see what's ahead. And like, I think there's always this kind of like feeling of when you get older, like does the fun have to stop? And we get age shamed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're like, oh, they still act like two young ones. And it's like, you can. There's no obligation to age to a certain level. Like, there's no like, you have to grow up at this age. You have to stop acting like this and stop doing that. That's just kind of a made up thing.
Well, yeah. So I love, they don't know us. It's like, oh, fuck yourself, bitch.
So I love that, like, from The Real Housewives, that you get to see these women still having fun, still being ridiculous, drinking and going on holidays and dancing around and all that kind of stuff.
So one thing I'm dreading about this, I think it's going to be really, really woke.
You said that and I totally agree. And because it is so annoying.
Because one of the biggest things that, you know, in the resurgence of Sex and the City culture, obviously that that meme woke Charlotte.
Yeah.
That was a big thing because obviously there's loads of like quote unquote problematic aspects of Sex and the City, which, you know, whatever, like you can go research.
They weren't
yourself.
Problematic then, but like now
it was a reflection of the time.
Well, like, I mean, it's happened with every single show. You look back at Friends and it's hugely problematic.
So I think it's going to...
That was also the beauty of fucking television.
Yeah, exactly. And it was also, there's a reason why Sex and the City, The Sopranos, like all these shows were like the peak of television because like they were able to comment on everything. There was no like chains on their ankles of like, don't say that, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like they actually had the artistic freedom to reflect the culture as it was right then.
And I mean, regardless of like popular belief or everyone that I hang out with, and I hang out with a lot of different people, they all are in their home life. It's people are still speaking as they were, regardless of like the woke culture. Do you know the way? So that descriptor of television was so much more like
it was an actual real reflection
because like people are still talking like that. They're just not showcasing it online, you know.
Yeah. So I think they're going to make it really woke. Like I remember, and something that I disagree with, and let me expand upon this before you start screen recording the podcast, girls. I remember Kim Cattrall said like, oh, they should recast Samantha as a black woman. And I understand what she means, as in like, this is a huge big thing that people are talking about, that there wasn't a lot of representation. Now, I would also argue that for Sex and the City to be because Sex and the City is a kind of show that is a reflector of waspy, rich New York culture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I think it's not glorifying only white women being friends, but it's like that sometimes can be the reality. America is very segregated and wealth is very segregated. But anyway, I'll leave that there and you can think about that yourself. But I really don't want them.
And also, I think like Kim Cattrall saying that, I think also, it screams tokenism.
Well, I was just about to get onto that point. Like, also, I think that like if you're just going to like, I'm all for like them bringing in like more like diverse, because also I think that New York in the early 2000s was more waspy than it is now. Like New York probably is more diverse now, and there probably is more like, you know, mixed race friendships and like more access to wealth for like, you know,
and possibly even from rooted in tokenism. See it with you know, brands like Glossier, who is like, they're rooted in New York and stuff like that, like where they would always have like an Asian, like they're dipping the toe into these kind of like tokenisms with culture.
I kind of more body. So mean like if it's going to be a show based on like four rich women friends in New York, like I think that it wouldn't have been accurate maybe into the early 2000s for them to have like a tokenism vibe, but now there probably is more of a diverse kind of like access to or like dispersion of wealth in New York. Like it just in the last 20 years that has happened. But anyway, I just find it so patronizing that like I'm like, make a new character and give that to a person of color. Don't like do this fake ass shit of like we have to have it Samantha. Like it's so disingenuous and so annoying for like a black actress to have to come in and like play a character that's been played by some white woman for years. It's like, make a new character. Say Samantha's moved to fucking Paris and they got this new fucking friend. And
they fought.
And give her
bring the reality. Yeah. That actually would be interesting.
Give her like this whole new character that is like a cool friend of
theirs.
Well,
they did it with the movie.
Which one? Oh, with Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah, Jennifer Hudson.
She was like, she was like her assistant. But I think, yeah, I get what you mean. But I think like that whole argument of like cast Samantha as a black woman or an Asian woman, it's like, why not just make a whole new character?
A ginger with one arm. Like, what do you want? But anyway,
it to someone who like, at least give them the chance to make a new character. I think it would like do a disservice to like the black actress if she did come on to be like, here's a character that's already been played for years and like you probably are going to get a load of hate from it as well. Give her a whole new
character. But also,
character.
Yeah, I mean, there's
we
no
don't need
way
Samantha.
That would that should never happen in any, and I would disagree. I do think we need Samantha. I think that she was the most.
But I wouldn't want it knowing what I know now. Honestly,
yeah.
I
we needed her in the show. And like, I do think that for some, it was just like one of those beautiful moments in kind of television history where like these women, they were the most perfect characters. They just, you know, I think it was just momentarily amazing. And like a lot of those things, just like we were speaking earlier about like iconic celebrity couples, those iconic moments sometimes don't last because they're just
they're ephemeral.
Like,
they're going to like disappear. And I know what you mean. Like, as in like, I think Sex and the City needs Samantha. But I'm happier for Kim Cattrall not to be in it than knowing she's forced. Cause I pick that up in the second movie. there was like, I remember someone being like, there's barely any scenes, but like Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica
they gave
Parker,
her shit lines.
All her whole character turned to shit really in the last, like the two movies, and not really, she wasn't great in the last season. Like we've talked about this, where we actually did an episode dissecting Samantha Jones, and we talked all about like how I just really feel that you could really see the surface. She was such an amazing character, and they just gave her like slapstick punchline sex jokes.
They turned into a joke, totally. Yeah. And they didn't evolve her story, which must have been really boring to kind of have to play out. But I think I totally agree with you, read the woke stuff.
Yeah.
Miranda, what's her name?
Cynthia Nixon
in real life is very fucking woke. Mm-hmm. Remember she did that stupid video being like, they say we can't fight.
Oh, everyone loved that video.
It's like, I know people are tagging me and you love this tone. I'm like, I couldn't get past 13 seconds.
It's so patronizing when these celebrities come on to tell us how to be like, it's like,
it's just so regurgitated. Yeah, it's like the always out. It's like, we get it. Yeah. Girls can run and play sport. Yeah. Okay, fine. Great. Yeah. Woo.
I can totally axe, you know, hammer just a big piece of wood when I'm on my period.
Like, and it's always these like real masculine thing. It's like, when are you hanging off the back of a fucking bin truck? Like, you know the way? Always these, it's just so boring. And like, we've regurgitated.
It's become a stereotype.
So she's super
itself.
Woke. Kristen Davis, we haven't heard much of her. I think she adopted a baby, possibly, as a single person.
See, I think like no matter even the people, I just think that like because the biggest backlash over the past, like even though there's been a huge regurgitation of Sex and the City with that hand in hand, has come so much like people talking about how problematic it was. So I think they're really going to do that fucking pathetic thing that all these show reboots do, or new shows now, especially
trying to cancel. They're like,
damage control. They're like, and then there's going to be a this and a that, and the, you know, Charlotte's child will be mute and one of them will have autism. It's just like, okay, you don't, like, you're literally don't make the show. Like, fair enough, you can obviously like organically bring in storylines that make sense and make you think. Like, that's what Sex and the City did. It brought in storylines about stuff that was never talked about, like sex, and it was brought in so organically, and it was like true to the character. But like, it wasn't, this is going to be like there's going to be like 8 episodes, and every episode's going to have some sort of like moral woke like undertone.
Yeah,
and
like what Big will come out as bi. Carrie's absolutely fine with it. It will be ridiculous, but as well, like, which I can imagine them in the fucking boardroom. And when we listen to that podcast, just look up Sex and City on Spotify as a podcast. I listened to it and it was amazing hearing from the writers and how they would sit around in the boardroom like discussing, and they would be howling with laughter because they knew how much they were pushing the boundaries. Women speaking about anal sex and the way that they spoke about it, and it was so sharp and witty and funny, and you know, and they were pushing it, and they were like, how are we going, like they were trying to like get under the covers a bit, but like being like, how are we going to fucking get this on TV? This is fucking crazy. And like, now TV is flipped to the opposite, where it's like they're trying to be so careful and not pushing things and not being provocative.
That's
and
why TV
like that.
Is dying.
I know, I'd never fucking switch on the box.
Why podcasting is surviving.
Lit.
So I do think
podcasting like us, where we, you know, say what we fucking want and aren't trying to mince our words. Or
you can just
careful.
Find what you want on via podcast. You know, that way you can find the perfect host. But I do think, I'm afraid of its wokeness, and I'm afraid that going back to the Samantha topic, just to finish off, I'm cool with Samantha not being in it if they acknowledge it. I don't want a show where they're just like, Samantha never existed.
It's so weird that it's a new show. It's really fucking weird.
It must be something like legal.
I guess they're trying to pass. I kind of have a inclination that they're maybe trying to move past the sex, because if Samantha isn't in it, Carrie, Sarah Jessica Parker refused to do any nudity. Mm-hmm. Miranda's
getting fucked.
Miranda was fucking naked.
Miranda,
I've seen her tits more than I've
fucked.
Seen my own. Jenny and I always piss ourselves at Miranda's sex scenes.
Her hair is always erect and sweaty. Like, the makeup is so good.
Oh, it's so good. And her like glossy kind of balmy
skin. And she just has those like,
and
like,
she's just so sexual.
She's just like so sexual, and like has those like see through nipples. And like,
and like the guy's like grabbing. The guy's like grabbing her tits.
I think she's always having it from behind.
Always. You can see so much of her pale skin.
She's an incredible actress, because like her like sex scenes,
they're so realistic.
Look at she getting booked.
She really does. And then like after, when she puts on that little silk kimono,
and she's like, get the fuck out of my house, I've got a meeting in the morning.
Why are you having, remember she goes to the guy who like loved to shower, she's like, sex isn't wrong. Oh, yeah. Something. It's not dirty.
Sex isn't dirty.
Like, Samantha's were obviously so, like, ridiculous and kind of, like, and funnier. And
Charlotte's were always, like, this, like, Venus coming off the rock. Yeah. Like, she was always, like, flailing her hair.
She always
hair.
Looked beautiful.
She always had negligee on.
Yes. And
she had good tits.
Yeah, she yeah, hers were always more kind of like aesthetic.
I love her body.
Yeah, her bod's fine.
And she looks, her bod aged.
I hate
really
my
well.
Thighs. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And Samantha, the body positive queen, was the one who was like, oh, fucking shut up.
Yeah. Like, Samantha is, she was the kind of salt. She was the alleviation, the comedic, like,
comedic break.
Yeah, she was. So it'll be interesting. And I would fucking pay money to watch Kim Cattrall watching the fucking show live.
I know.
If she could capitalize on that, if she made a fucking YouTube channel or something, Kim Cattrall live reacts, it will be, because I'd
say when it's coming out. It's so annoying.
But it's also annoying. It's like, have they even started? I hate when you have to wait so long. Like, I know, have they even like, started?
2022.
I know. And like, it's all fucking COVID.
I
so
am
I
looking
they.
Forward for it like to be modern New York though. Because like that New York that they shot in was such a like specific time in New York, especially the earlier seasons. Like, New York was still a bit gritty. Like, New York has just changed so much in the last 20 years that I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing like, I just hope like my biggest wish, and I know it's going to be woke. So I've accepted.
I'm watching
I've
the
accepted
thing
that.
As we speak.
I've really accepted the wokeness. There's no sound as well, so you can watch it without sound. My biggest thing is I really hope that they don't take on some sort of like political angle.
What, like they're talking about Trump?
Trump. Oh, it's just like, I don't care. You had Trump on the show. You also had a politician who you pissed, who wanted to piss. Like, that was the funniness.
And the funny, they had one hilarious scene when they're all talking about like the sexiest presidents.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And then the voiceover, Carrie Bradshaw goes, and there we were, four girls talking about politics. And I was saying, she was like, oh, he'd have a big langer. And I was just like, that was the beauty of Sex and City. It was like so ridiculous.
I fucking love that line.
And then there's another line when
she's so proud. She's like, just four girls talking politics.
And then there's that other one when Samantha's at the party and some guy, they have like a political chat and like some guy's trying to talk politics to her, and she's like, I don't believe in parties. I don't believe in political parties. I just believe in parties.
Parties. I love that. So like, I do hope like that would be my main thing. Like, I'm okay. I can deal with the wokeness because all TV is woke anyway now.
Totally. Yeah.
I can tune it
but
out.
You don't want their characters to
I
change.
Just don't want some sort of like, and we're not talking to like Charlotte anymore because she voted for Trump. It's like, please, he's gone. Can we stop talking? Like,
the beauty of Sex and the City was, and I definitely think as an arc for women, it was that like, you can be intelligent whilst talking about like more effeminate things or like sex and fashion. Like, there is high intelligence in all those things. Like, there's history.
You
and
can make anything academic, honey.
Exactly, baby.
Okay, so should we leave it here? We've been on an hour and a half, girls. Thank you so much for listening.
Delighted
we'll be back
to be
you.
Back. Oh. Thank you for all your messages about my COVID. I'm sure you got a lot about the engagement. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much, girls.
Sign up to X-Gals for the tea on the COVID and the COVID-19 and the engagement.
Okay, girls. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.